Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to my gymnasium. Check it out. Watch this. Bring ding 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 ding.
All right, the Jamaicans ready. They just said it. You want to hear the Jamaicans tell you that they're ready for praise and worship again before we get started? The Jamaicans are ready.
Welcome to my gymnasium. Check it out. Watch this. Bring ding 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 ding
ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding ding.
All right, we give you Chaplain John Durden.
Good evening, everybody. This is Brother John. Glad you can come aboard this evening. Fellow believers, I just want to say God bless you. But before I do, let me go to my Lord and Savior, Holy Spirit, and Father God in a prayer. Let us pray. Father God, I pray that you would anoint me with revelation knowledge, wisdom and understanding, and I pray that the Holy Spirit will empower me to teach your word with clarity, simplicity, and boldness, and may our minds be alert, and the spiritual mind, not fleshly minds, be alert and clear, and our hearts become receptive. And I pray, Father, that the Spirit of truth, the Holy Spirit, will move in such power that every stronghold of unbelief and discord and vain thought be pulled down and brought into captivity to the glory of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. And Father, I pray that your words will bring salvation, it will bring healing, and it will bring deliverance, especially deliverance, to all here in your presence today. And it's in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray. Amen. The fear of the Lord. Well, It's a surprise to me that I'm teaching tonight. I never thought that I'd be here for a while because I got attacked by the devil several months ago. Well, I was just crazy. So I just want to say welcome, y'all, and God bless you. And as I said, the topic of this session tonight poses an important question, one of which many Christians need to be aware of, and that is the fear of the Lord. And from my experience for the past year and a half assisting Brother Emmett, it's working with him, trying to learn the deliverance ministry, I come to find out there's a whole lot of folks out there doesn't even fear the Lord. And it makes me cry and I tremble because I'm not lying. This whole year and a half, if they didn't like our teaching, all they got to do is just turn the channel. But we were getting threats and primarily we got over 100 some out. We coming down in the ball, Jackie. We don't like your teaching. And we have his written word. We have his word. And no tongues and everything else. It's taking a lot of stuff out of context. But I want to just share. And it came across my mind, heart, and spirit. Says, you know what? There's a lot of them out there really don't fear the Lord. That's a problem. That's really a problem because what they tell us they're doing and what the Lord tells us what they're doing and what the Holy Spirit's telling us what they're doing, we can believe it. Go, what? And it's supposed to be this, supposed to be that, and got these degrees and everything else. And finally, the Holy Spirit hit me one day and say, it's because they don't fear the Lord. And I go, wow, I ain't never heard nothing like that. Somebody don't, not afraid of Jesus or the Holy Spirit, my God. And I guess so, because every time we get calls, it always, as soon as they get mad at us, you know, like, shut up, y'all quit talking. And they would say to me, I don't like what you said. I don't like what you're doing. All that. I'm a ball. We're going to come down here and ball jack you. And I go, oh, my God. And just to get it clear, and I go, sir, you want to clarify, define what you mean, ball jack? And then someone said, uh-oh. And they go, I'll let you, and this thing up all kind of excuses. But that's what I want to share tonight. I want to say that it's a pleasure. I want to say this. I'm going to break it out down in three parts. One going to be the meaning of the fear of the Lord, and then the next part going to be about reasons for the fear of the Lord. And then I want to close with seven characteristics of the fear of the Lord and their implications in our lives. Let me say that again. I'm going to talk about the meaning of the fear of the Lord. Then I want to talk on reason for the fear of the Lord. Then I want to talk about seven characteristics of the fear of the Lord and their implications in our lives. I want to say that now, again, many of us as ministers, we need to know that. And that was a topic that had a hard understanding. I said, why should I fear the Lord? You know, I mean, I know he loved me. He would die on the cross for me. That don't make any sense. When I used to hear that back in the years ago, do you fear the Lord? I said, man, that man's stupid. You know, back then, he's God. He can say, drop dead and you do it. That's just a stupid question kind of thing. Now I've come to find out what it really means. So I want to say, it is really an important issue to really discuss this with some of you, because some of you, I feel in my spirit, has sent some questions about why should I fear God? God is love and this kind of thing. Now, this is an important, extremely important issue that I want to discuss. The Bible has a good deal to say about the fear of the Lord, and I was surprised. I was doing my study in the day, trying to check it out and everything else to fulfill my feelings about it. The Bible has a good deal to say about the fear of the Lord. But great numbers of Christians misunderstand the concept. And they read and said, why should I fear the Lord? Everybody says, no, he died for me. Why would I fear for somebody who died for me and these kinds of things? You know, but when we say fear of the Lord, we're talking about all different kinds of angles because they just don't understand. I want to say this. Of all the themes in the scripture, the fear of the Lord contains some of the most outstanding promises of God's favor and blessings. You know, I thought about it 1 second, just stepped in my spirit and said, you know, you fear your mother, you fear your father, but it's not one of those crazy fears. You know, you said we should fear the Lord similar to that. In other words, when we say fear, that don't mean God's going to come and kill you, but you would say he's going to slap you down or he's going to sneak up on you and mug you and these kinds of things. You know, fear the Lord is something like your mama or your daddy. You have a father and mother who loves you, work their tails off to support you and everything else. And what happens as soon as, oh, Lord, they're going, I'm going to tell your mama, boy, you're a student in school. And you go, oh, God, I'm going to get it. You fear her because you know she can dish out punishment. But the other reason, the real reason you fear her is because you know that when she's told what you did, it would hurt her heart. It would just almost kill her. And no, not my son. And pop, son, I raised you to bed. How could you do this? And see, so you don't fear him because they're going to kick your butt. You fear him because you know how it would hurt him. And this him is Jesus, who not only just fuss at you, but sacrificed his life because of your sins. So we fear him because not only what he can do to us, but we should fear him because we know that our sin and all our wrongdoings really mess up his heart and spirit. And, you know, last thing you would do, just like a lot of ministers right now, when they be talking to me, you know, I say, we're coming down to the ball, Jack. You know, go, oh, God, we got another one. And I say, all right. I say, you know what I'm going to do? And that's after the Lord talked to Brother Emmett. And then Brother Emmett, and then the Lord tell Brother Emmett, tell me, say, tell him, if he don't shut up or he don't do such and so, I'm going to give y'all the keys, the signal, how he can get into the computer and show him screwing this person, that person, and this person. And then I say, sir, what boy? I said, you really don't fear the Lord. What you talking about? You don't go, I ain't scared of nothing. You know, this kind of a thing. As soon as I say, you know what? The Lord told Brother Emmett to tell me, to tell you, that we're about to open up this computer and everybody see what you're doing. You screwing sweetie booty or this booty and that booty. But have a heart attack. Click. And do you know, 90 out of 95, as soon as the Lord gets tired of it and tells the Emmett, he's doing this and this and this and this. He's having sex with her. It would hurt him, hurt him, hurt him, hurt him. And then he said, now tell John so he'll know, so he can respond to them. And then Emma said, Brother John, the Lord says, oh, he's talking to you right now, the hotel room. He's in the bedroom with three faggots and so on, kind of thing. And I go, sir, I know where you are. You in hotel, blah, blah, blah. Click. Somebody going to hotel. How you know that? How you know that? And I brought that up because I can't believe it. I mean, if Lord didn't call me into this ministry, Man, I ain't never knew nobody got doctor degrees and all these degrees and running around there doing all kind, not just hanky-panky sexually, but hanky-panky stealing money out the account. The Lord would tell him and him would tell me. I said, God, dog. I almost said, well, a couple times I said, man, if the Lord do this to me 5 more times, I'm just going to quit the ministry, man. I don't know who the fellowship with. But that's the truth. We need to learn to fear the Lord. And then I finally came out of my hospital by myself. I said, you know what, brother? And I said, they don't fear the Lord. And he said, you got it right on the head, John. You know, so I said, I just say that. Now, the Bible has a good deal to say about the fear of the Lord, and I want to share that with you. I did some, about 2-3 hours of studying it today. Of all the themes in the scripture, y'all, the fear of the Lord contains some of the most outstanding promises of God's favor and blessings. So that's why I want to talk about what is the fear. It is not. I want to say that first. You have, before I say the fear of the Lord, I want to share 2 or 3 other fears. What is the fear of the Lord? It's not. Natural fear. You heard of that. I have been told that a number, I have been told that a newborn baby is naturally afraid of 2 things. One, when you holler and scream around the baby kind of a thing, the baby's like scared that you're going to drop them and these kinds of things. You know, these little noise and everything else, the baby starts screaming, right? In addition to the list of things, I want you to know that we as human beings, we fear what? Roller coasters. We fear getting lost. We fear getting drafted to go into the military. Sometimes us we're afraid of the darkness. And these types of fears are perfectly normal. That's not the fear of Jesus. But these fears do not constitute what the Bible calls the fear of the Lord. So, you know, when you were a child, you didn't want to go to this part of town because you figured the gangster's going to get you and everything else. So that's different. That's just natural fear. And then what we have, another kind of fear we have, is what you call, demonic fear. And I said, demonic fear, okay, Paul, what is that? And I'm just reading it. I grabbed some of my buddy's book and everything else and looked at it and read a few and came up with demonic fear. And I go, okay, yeah, because I hear a lot of guys say, I ain't getting into that, John. You and Brother Emma can have that demonic stuff. I don't deal with no demons. And I want to say this. Talk about demons, fear of demons for a minute. Demon fear proceeds from Satan, not from God. That's where it comes from, because he wants you to be afraid of him. He don't want you to be jumping up into him high and scaring all the devils and this kind of thing. So what? Demon fear Satan's, because they're his boss, more than they God. Demons, demonic fears tends to keep us from obeying God. Satan injects his kind of fear into us, in our heart and our spirit, to keep us doing what we don't supposed to be doing. In this way, it is completely opposite of the fear of the Lord, which motivates and impels us to what? Obey God and to do the things that God wants us to do. And then you have, under that demonic fear, you have what you call tormenting fear, which is from the devil, and it has no place in the life of Christians. It is the kind of fear that causes us an evil spirit. And, you know, and a lot of them I find that too, from my experience, the majority of guys who be calling me and Brother Emmett, they fear nature. They fear mankind. They fear their family more than they fear the Lord. Because the first thing that happens, as soon as I say, hey, man, I'm tired of you insulting me now, one more time, and you talking to me on the computer, one more time you call me boy, one more time you say this, I'm going to ask the Lord to tell me what you're doing. And it happens every time. And he clicked, and I go, hey, where's everybody? Hello. Click. And then Brother M come on. Oh, he's gone. What did you say to the guy? I told him that I'm going to pray to the Lord. And the Holy Spirit tell me, what is he doing? He got no business doing. He said, oh, yeah, that's true. And several times we'd be getting calls. Sometimes we'd be chit-chatting. And he'd call, hey, boy, what you doing, boy, kind of a thing. And I said, Emmett, this is terrible. He says, yeah, I know it. That's what John said. The Lord, the Holy Spirit just told me what he's doing. He told me to tell you. I said, tell me. And he said, you in bed with this faggot, this faggot, this faggot. Click, click, click. And some of them, private line. And sometimes I say, no private line. You've been called out already. Sometimes I say, okay, come on. and coming out. Don't tell my wife now. I listen. You got a video? I said, yeah, God. You ain't got no deal on me. You ain't hiding. You know my text and everything. And I said, well, the Lord telling us. So that's what's been happening. Let me get back to the fear of the Lord. And I said, you know what, sir? You fear your family. Now, you know what you've been doing, and you got three faggots in the room with you right now. And then as soon as I say the video and show it to your wife and everything, then you all have a heart attack. Like, the Lord don't even know what's going on. So we need to know about the fear of the Lord. Now, you remember, if you know your Bible, Jesus, in Isaiah and in Matthew 15, applied to the passage of religious leaders of his day. And you remember what he said. He says, you hypocrites. And that's what Jesus called them all. This is the kind of religious fear that's what makes people act their religious, consist in a dramatic forcade or roping. And when they did this, and these are when we call religious fear. That was religious fear I'm talking about right now. Where Jesus said, you know, when I look in the view, he said, go to Matthew 15, 2 and 9. And I went to it and said, Jesus also quoted Isaiah in Matthew chapter 15, verses 7 through 9, applying the passage to the religious leaders of his day, whom we all call hypocrites. I said, that's pretty good, Lord. I said, thank you. And then I went to reading it, you know, and said, he called them hypocrites. This is a kind of religious fear that makes people act their religion consists in a dramatic 4K or role playing. You know, he said, like when you go to church, hello, Dr. So and so, Reverend so and so, Deacon so. Hello, my child, how you doing? Praise God, please God. How you doing? How you doing? God, please to meet you, please meet you. When they enter the church building, they often change their whole demeanor. And you know, in all my church, when I was raised up, that's what they're doing. They fear the Lord. Outside, they've been doing all kind of things. Night before, they've been doing all kind of things. I'm talking about men, not just preach. I'm just talking about mankind, period. I'm talking about the males that attend the church. Some of them are Bible teachers in the church there. Some are the pianists, you know, kind of a thing. I'm just talking about everybody. I'm not saying on anybody. Just talking about their moods and how they change. When they out there in the street, they're doing everything else what they're supposed to do. And as soon as they step in the door, good evening, good morning, my child, good morning, God bless you, you know, kind of a thing. And the Lord singing that out to me, that's just role-playing. That's all that is. He said, this is a kind of religion fear. Let's call it religious fear. Mm-hmm. Religion fear. This is a kind of religion fear that makes people act their religion consists in a dramatic 4K or role-playing. And that's what you have. So what I see, I can be with one person all week. Yeah, man, what's happening? So. We just talking. But soon that Sunday come, we walk in there, I think I'm talking different. Good evening, Brother John. How you doing? Praise God. Yes. That kind of thing. So when they're in a church building, God said, they often change their whole demeanor. When they pray, they probably use a special tone of voice. Yes. Reference and performance based on what some thought was being holy. They change their whole demeanor and everything. Another thing, religious fear, still talking about religious fear is taught by men, not by God. It is also superficial. It affects outer conduct and leaves the heart unchanged. So your heart don't have anything to do with it. That's your mind playing with you and trying to impress people. How are you doing? The Lord says that the people who live in religious fear honor me with their lips. Now, let me back that up. That's what the Lord said to me. The Lord says that people who live in religious fear honor me with their lips, but have removed their hearts from me. So when he with mankind, hey, brother, so-and-so, praise the Lord, yeah, so-and-so, and he be trying to please that brother and the Lord and everything else. But when it comes to the Lord says, when they go, yeah, praise God, yeah, man, praise the Lord, yeah, he says, a lot of them is hypocrites. That just stuff coming. They honor me with their lips. In other words, not their heart. Isn't the Lord great? Yes, I've been blessed. The Lord said, yes, saying all these positive things. And the Lord don't like it at all. He says, you better fear me because you're going to be judged one day. And remember this, religious fear does not produce the kind of obedience that God desires. What do you mean by that, Brother John? What do you mean by that? Religious fear does not produce the kind of obedience that God desires. He wants you to be, to love him and to praise him. And whenever any kind of temptation comes, you can tell Satan where he can go. Listen at this. It also, having that kind of religious fear, in other words, it says, outside the church, you're your regular Joe Blow. Hey, man, what's happening? Yeah, man, praise, yeah, so. Hey, man, look at that chicken. So, yeah. Hey, man, so. Okay. But when you get in church, praise the Lord, hallelujah, and stuff like that, it produces a slavish attitude, not the kind and obedience that God wishes from his sons and daughters. He wants you to love him and to praise him. Don't play with him on those Sundays, you know, just Sundays. Good evening, but all during the week, he's thinking just unclean things and everything else. God knows our thoughts, all of them. So that's what's happening. That's religious fear. Religious fear just means on Sundays, you're very religious, you're torn. And then when somebody says, I want you to go up and pray. Yes. Our Father, yes. And Lord, we just love you, Lord. And forgive us our sins, Father God. And this kind of thing, those religious fears of man. You're in the church. And so you fear, that's what you call a religious fear. You're going to act religious on Sunday. You act religious when somebody you know really for real and love the Lord. And when they say, hey, brother so-and-so, and then your demeanor and everything, try to get on the level he is. Well, hey, brother so-and-so, praise God, how you doing? That's what you call religious fear. Anytime you're not in an environment of a fellow brother in the Lord, you to a church meeting or whatever it is, your whole tone and everything changes. Yes, praise the Lord. But outside of that environment, hey, man, what's up? And, you know, this kind of a thing. Now, that's religious fear. Then you got fear of man. That's another kind of fear. The fear of man, I kind of touch on it somewhat, is the opposite of trusting in the Lord. When we're afraid of what people will think and say, that's the sign right there, huh? We are operating with the fear of man. Isn't that amazing? You can be afraid of what mankind can say to you. I mean, your external names, your buddies, your works, and everything else. And if you know the Joker is religious, this one that happened to be a preacher, he's a churchgoer or something like that. And when you get in front of him, you know, you don't want to offend him because, you know, this man be mad at me. They're more afraid of mankind than they are the Lord. So they put on different things. The fear of man, again, is the opposite of trust in the Lord. When we are afraid of what people will think, that's a sign. I'm going to do that. They're going to say, just like when the guys call us, you know, and chew us out and talk about they will come down here and ball jack us and everything else. And the Lord say, oh, well, here we go again. Then the Lord say, Emma, John, Emma said, John, here he comes. Go tell John that he's got this person in the bedroom with him. He's in the car doing this, or he's disgraced doing that. And then soon he say, I say, sir, that's the last time you call me boy. And next time you call me boy, I'm going to reveal something nasty about you. And what you going to say? Then I tell him who's in the bed or where he's heading to this queer's home and stuff like that. And the guy about to have a nervous breakdown, bam, hanging up the phone. So the fear of man is the opposite of trusting the Lord. When we are afraid of what people will think or say, that's when them, boy, I never seen anything. You think these guys going to have a heart attack. Even some of these women. Some of them wise. Let me speak to you. We can't talk to you like that. And I say, sweetheart, you the one that lied on me, talking about I came down there and had sex with you, and I don't even know who you are and everything else too. And I remember I was talking to some of them in your church, and your husband jumped in. Yeah, I'm gonna tell them you screwing me, and you sneaked down here, and so. I said, no, it wasn't me. It was blah 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 blah, blah 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 blah, and blah blah blah. The woman started screaming, hollering, hanging the phone up my face. See, okay. So the fear of man is the opposite of trusting the Lord. When we are afraid of what people will think or say, we are operating with the fear of man, and we get that every time because that's how God protects Brother M and I. They like to start off calling us boy and this and everything else. And even when they tell us, when we talk about the females that they're messing with or the males they're messing with, they tell them, hey, that's my life. And they come, some of them just told me, things have changed. We are not in the first century anymore. I said, oh, my God. What did you just say to me? It changed. We don't have to fear. We can marry homosexual relationships and all that stuff. So they fear man more than they fear God. Okay? Now, another thing I want to say, I'm coming to the nitty-gritty. What is the fear of the Lord? The meaning of the fear of the Lord. Reasons for the fear of the Lord. Seven characteristics of the fear of the Lord and their implications. The fear of the Lord, that's the Holy Spirit you got to guide me on this one. And I had all kinds of books, but the primary book I have is Derek Prince. That's who I'm led to, because that's who Brother Emmett was trained by. Because I remember when he wanted to commit suicide, you know, and then the Lord had me to talk to him, and he accepted Christ. And then guess what the Lord told me? And I'll leave him the subject on him alone. The Lord says, I will teach you. I don't need you to go to school. I don't need you to go there. Because in the area where you are, they don't know me, you know. And so he said, I will teach you. And the Lord teach him personally. I remember he used to go to his house. He's sitting there on the sofa, and he's writing on the blackboard with the Holy Spirit telling him. And I go, look. I said, what you doing? He said, the Lord told me he's going to teach me. Do you want me to go to school, Brother John? I said, well, I don't blame you. You know why? He said, why? I said, because I said, guess what happened to me? But I stayed in because it was too late for me to drop out of school because I had to pay $75 to get into school. And what happened was when I my first day in class, the preacher always had one of the students to always lead off in prayer. And he said, Brother John, you want to start off in prayer? And I go, yes, sir. I said, Heavenly Father, we come before you now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Then all of a sudden, shut up, shut up. And I go, who's saying that? I said, what you doing disrespecting me, man? Can't you see me praying? He talked to the instructor. He said, we don't use that kind of prayer here in my classroom. And I go, what kind of prayer are we talking about? You just said, Father, Mother. You said, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, so. I said, yeah, that's the way I pray. He said, no, in this class and in my teaching, we say, in the name of Father and Mother, so. And I said, hold up. What did you just say to me? He says, we don't know if God, Jesus is God the Father, God the Mother. He said, we don't know if he's a mother or father. I said, Jesus. He said, no. It's not. We don't pray like that here. From now on, when you pray, you just say, our mother and our father, because we don't know. I say, so you think Jesus is ignorant? He said, what do you mean by that? I say, well, you just said that we don't know if he's father or mother. That's what I said. I said, well, that's stupidity, man. He said, what do you mean? I say, Jesus said the prayer, right? Oh, yeah. That's Jesus prayed. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I say, sir, just to brief this thing, you trying to say that Jesus don't know whether his daddy is a mother or his mother is a daddy? He looked at me and go, oh, my God. He just stunned all the students in the class. Look and start giggling, you know. I say, you stupid. I don't think I want to be taught by you, man. You talking about you in this class, we going to say, our father, mother, which are in heaven. I say, ain't no way. I'm dropping this class later. I walked out the class when I got home, told the wife. And the wife said, you got to go back. And I go, how come I got to go back? She said, I wrote the check out. The check was $75 for this quarter. I said, yeah, what about it? Well, guess what? And anybody who wants to drop the class have a certain date. You know what? Tomorrow is your last date. If you don't go back there and get your money back, you're going to lose this. Oh, hey. So good thing she told me that. So I went there, back to school the next day and dropped out. And then I went to another school. Okay. So unfortunately, many of these folks, just speaks God from the mouth. He wants you. We don't fear him. We need to fear him. Now I want to say this. Unfortunately, many more translations. You know what? When I look at Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, look at all these ministers. Then I look at the different books, all the different, you know, the King James Version, the New King James Version, and this version and that version. And when I look at it, it has something different to say. And I go, oh, okay. And so I said to myself, unfortunately, many more translations of the Bible, thoughts are coming to my spirit. And I'm writing down here, just, unfortunately, many more translations of the Bible do not use the word fear. I go, and you know, now we're back in the back of it and look up fear and just very few scriptures. I believe that is due, at least in part, this is my opinion, to a humanistic attitude that de-emphasizes our need to fear God. These all these new writers in the Bible and everything, all these different versions and everything else. And you don't see too much about fearing God in there. illustrations of Bible characters where fear God, go God, kind of spank them kindly and these kinds of things, not too much on that. And so I say, okay, I'm going to write that down, Lord. I've got, unfortunately, I'm looking at it right now, unfortunately, many more translations of the Bible do not use the word fear. I believe that what is due, at least in part, to a humanistic attitude that de-emphasizes our need to fear God. But we do need to fear God. We do, folks. We need to. God is to be feared, and there's nothing in this Bible that suggests that the fear of the Lord is unnecessary. Because after all, you've got to remember who he is. He's God. He's the Lord. So some people fear, and the one thing on that, with respect to the fear is, all we got to say is, hey, we got to, and we won't be lying. Say, man, we got to film. You call me boy, you call me nigga one more time, your butt is ours. And you don't have to tell us what your computer number, because God be telling Brother Emmett the number, and Brother Emmett tell me the number. When the pastors or whoever in the church stealing, deacons stealing money and everything else, the Lord would tell Brother Emmett, and Brother Emmett would tell me. That kind of a thing. That's how it works for a while, you know, because I'm still trying to learn deliverance ministry. But see, he was doing what I never did. I fasted one day for 3 years. You know, we were working together in the hospital. I lied to the staff and told him that he had a degree. They thought he had a degree, and he was my assistant. For 3 years, he was my associate. And what was so amazing is that he said, I think we need to fast. I said, oh, okay. I want to fast one day. He went to fast 3 days. I stuck 3 days and almost died. So I stuck back to one day. He fasted for 3 days. And because of his fear, Lord, and then he was sitting in this thing. He come running in my room, screaming and crying. What's the matter? He said, the Lord, you know, this voice came up behind me, talking about, Emmett, I am the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I do not want you to go to school. I will personally teach you. I will personally teach you, and I will teach you to fear the Lord. I mean, he taught him everything. And for a whole 3 years when he was with me, he fasted on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Wednesday for 3 years. And when I go to his house, and he'd be sitting in the chair, and I walk, he's come on in, but I can't come. You know what he'd be doing? He's sitting there listening to the Lord telling him what to say. He's writing on the blackboard. I go, man, where are you getting all this from? Jesus is teaching me, man. I said, oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know you were in class. I guess I go home. He said, no. He said, you can sit down. And I sit down, and God be telling me everything else. But I can't hear him like, because the man fasted for three, you know, Fridays and Saturdays and Sundays for so long. He said, the Lord said, so, is that true, Brother John? He told you to ask me because you're a theologian. No, he knows. He didn't say you're a theologian. He said, you graduated from school. And I go, yeah, that's right. And then he go, golly. And then God would share some more stuff on him. And then he'll break down. He says, John, the Lord said, you know the Bible characters. Do you know, he sat there and listed maybe 6, 7, 8, 9, 12 Bible characters and what they were doing in the Bible. He gave us the women name, the men name, and everything else. And then he would quote the scriptures. He would quote the Ten Commandments. He would quote the Beatitudes right in front of me. Ain't been no school, no nothing. I said, now you believe it, John? He taught me. Then what he teaches me, he put it in my spirit. I don't forget it. That's how come now that when ministers challenges him, he just make him look silly. So God want us to fear him. The fear of the Lord sometimes, we just need to do it. We just got to ask the Holy Spirit to help us. That's what I did, you know, because I was taught under the same theology most all of you all listen to them too. Because all my life, all I heard was from a kid on up to a grown man, we have his written word, but he wasn't teaching me. That's all I heard. We have his written word, you know, like tongues. Tongues have ceased, and the Bible says tongues has not ceased. All right. When we encounter a situation, decision, problem, or need, the fear of the Lord causes us to what? Ask questions. What would God say about this? Is what I'm saying. When you really, really fear the Lord, if somebody trying to tempt you to do something and you don't know if it's right or wrong, you know how you can find out right quick? Say, Lord, what is your pleasure in this? Should I say no? Yes, you know. Oh, the Holy Spirit will talk to you. So the fear of the Lord means before we act on any recommendations or orders or direction, everything else, we need to check and ask whether the Holy Spirit agrees with it. I don't care what you say. I don't care who approached you. We need you to do this. We need you to do that and these kinds of things. Fear the Lord means, one moment, sir. and then you check with the Holy Spirit and see what it is. In some cases, you know. So we need to check always. We should first, before we do anything, check with the Holy Spirit. And don't keep saying, well, I can't hear him. You know, I had a problem with that too once. You know, can't hear him. Well, I confess that. You never hear him. You keep saying, I can't hear him. So check with the Holy Spirit. Check with the Holy Spirit. The fear of the Lord motivate us what? To seek to please the Lord always. That's what we want to do. To fear the Lord. Especially if somebody asks us to do him a favor or somebody offer you a job or whatever it is. Some woman approach you, some man approach you for different things. I got this plan, this, that plan. Always check with the Lord. Check with the Lord. That kind of thing. Check with the Lord. I was sent to read Hebrews, the fifth chapter. And, you know, it provides remarkable relation of why God the Father always heard the prayers of Jesus. I mean, I was moved by it. So, you know, so I put back out of the bed, ran to my Bible, and I felt led to get Hebrews chapter 5, verses 7, 8, and I'm looking at it. And this, I wrote a little note to myself because I never want to forget it. Hebrews 5, chapter 5, verse 7, 8. In the days of his flesh, he had offered up prayers and supplications with extreme cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. That's Jesus. Let me see that again. This is Jesus. Talking about Jesus. Okay, he says, in the days of his flesh, he had offered up prayers and supplications with extreme cries and fears to him, meaning Jesus, meaning his God, who was able to save him from death and was heard because of his godly fear. That's why Jesus was heard by his Father. And reason is, and though he was his son, he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. See, he feared his Father, but in a positive way. He didn't fear him that, well, he's going to kill me. Not that kind of, but he knew what his Father stood for. He knew the power that his Father had. He knew how loving his Father was. He was diligent when he saw his Father making plans to bring salvation to the world. And he looked at all that. He had personal faith, and naturally, he didn't want to die. You know, he could say, oh, I ain't going through that. Please, no, I'm sorry, Father. No, no way, Jose, kind of a thing. But, you know, he kept his mouth shut. And you all remember, he said, not my will, but your will. Can you imagine your daddy telling you something like that? And you can turn around and go, not my will, but your will. You'd be saying, and you'd be skipping and run away from home somewhere. Okay. So I want to say this. Pastor, that I just got to be talking about, God, that Jesus, listened to the prayers of Jesus. God the Father listened to the prayers of his son Jesus. Why? Because, what? Jesus always was loyal with a godly fear. Let me say that again. God listened to the prayers of Jesus always because his son Jesus always prayed with a godly fear when he prayed to his daddy. In anguish, Jesus prayed to his Father, nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done. You remember saying that. And so such a statement of surrender, what? Epitomizes the fear of the Lord when he said, not my will, Daddy, but yours. In other words, the Father let him realize that that was his will for him and it serves a purpose. We all know what that purpose is, provide the salvation for all mankind. He didn't want to do it, but he feared his Father, not that fear him as he was a boogeyman, but fear him for who he was, what he was, and what he wanted to do. That was him. And so I want to touch on the meaning, some more meaning of the fear of the Lord. I look at some more Gary Prince books, and I saw some things that I really enjoyed, you know, and I made little notes of and everything else. And that's about put it in the spirit, Lord, put it in the spirit. Because I don't want to forget it. The meaning of the fear of the Lord, you know. So understand that. The fear of the Lord is essential. Essential to fearing God is a knowledge of his holiness, justice, and righteousness. When you fear him, you acknowledge who he is and what he can do. Essential to fearing God is knowledge of his holiness, justice, and righteousness as a counterpart of his love, So you see, you got to see the love and the mercy too. So when you fear God, say, hey, hold up. That's the devil. The devil want me to fear God, my heavenly Father. Essential to fearing God is knowledge of his holiness, justice, and righteousness as a counterpart of his love and mercy. Knowing him, y'all, knowing him and fully understanding who he is will help you not to fear. Well, we'll put you kind of in between loving and not loving him. But you got to fear God because, I mean, he's who he is. The fear of the Lord requires what? A knowledge of the Holy One. In other words, when you can fear God, you got to have a personal relationship with God. You got to know who he is, what he stands for, and what he's about. The fear of the Lord requires what? A knowledge of the Holy One, meaning God, that regards him with holy awe and reverence, what he can do, what he can't do, and there's no such thing as can't, and knows God is because he's great, he's glory, he's holy, he's majesty, and has power. That's who he is. He is the God that has glory. He is holy. He is majestic. And he has all power. True, remember this. True fear of the Lord causes believers to place their faith and trust in the alone for salvation. See, so we know who he is too. I mean, you say, hey, wait a minute. Not only he had all his power and everything else, but he is the man of salvation, the God of salvation. The fear of the Lord produces in God's people a confident hope and trust in him. The fear of the Lord. That's what that should bring to you too. See, I fear the Lord more than not just what he can do, like go to hell, but I fear him because what he sent his son to do for me. And so you fear of hurting him. Not only you hurt God who authored the thing, but Jesus. They both were finally was in agreement that he will sacrifice his life. So you, sir, so you, doctor, so you, reverend, so you, bishop, so you, apostle, so you, triple, and so you, beloved. It involves recognizing that sin has savior. In other words, he has serious consequences, and that both in time and in eternity, that's in time and in eternity, God has the power, what? To punish those who break his righteous laws. Sometimes you don't wait till the end comes. Some people have to go stand for God at 30, 40, 60, and everything else. So God knows what you're going to do 10 years from now. Sometimes he allows a person who you know was evil and a liar and a thief get killed. He allows it because he can see in the future. He saw that the man would be turned out really sick and everything. He ended up killing it, just like in the news the other day, where a man not only killed his wife, but he killed his two kids. See, so God knows what we're going to do. He knows our heart and spirit and everything else. So sometimes you wonder why a person died early. It was because it was their time for one reason. God said, I'm going to bring my son home. I'm going to bring my daughter home. I'm going to bring my child home. Sometimes a kid would die because God can see that it'd be best for that child who's 12 or 13 or 14 to be raised by one of his angels up there. You know, then what's he going to see? Because he may see that something awful going to happen. One of the parents going to do something he got no business doing. My child molest the child, you know, and all that stuff. So God has a purpose. He knows what all of us are going to do 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 years from now. And this is love. It involves recognizing, loving God, the fearing God. It involves recognizing that sin has serious consequences. And that both in time, not only in time here, but in eternity, God has what? The power to punish those who break his righteous laws. Moses prayed what? And Moses, when he was having this time, the Bible said Moses prayed like 40 days and nights on behalf of the Israelites. They were rebelling to God, doing every kind of thing, doing what those other folks were doing. And I mean, he almost died over it, you know. But it said the word said Moses prayed 40 days and nights on behalf of the Israelites because he knew God was ready to swipe them out. God was ready to swipe them out. Now, what I want to deal with right now is reasons for the fear of the Lord. Reasons for the fear of the Lord. In keeping, let me see. In keeping with the meaning of the fear of the Lord, I want to say this. We should fear him because of his authority as the creator of all things and people. The fact that God's awesome authority and power continue to be exercised over the elements of creation and over the human race. Isn't that significant? And that is sufficient. Sufficient cause what? For fearing God. Because of his control over the elements of creation and over the human race is sufficient. The human race, not Spanish, Black, this, but the whole human race is sufficient cause for fearing him. Okay? And the whole, another one, the wholeness of God and his separation from and constant opposition to sin and unrighteousness would cause us to fear him. The wholeness of God, because he's so holy. That's why we should fear some man. Man, you know, he's a man. I don't want him to be turning his back on me. Another reason for the fear of the Lord. The universal judgment of God at the end of history, talking about the end of history, should cause us to fear him who judges all injustice and iniquity, because we never know when we're going to die, but someday he's coming back, and he's coming back with all those angels. All those angels, they're going to plead heaven, coming back to gather up his saints. The universal judgment of God at the end of history should cause us to fear him who judges all injustice and iniquity. He knows what we're doing. Another reason, God has, talking about reason for the fear of the Lord, God has promised to bless and honor all those who fear him. Humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Other blessings promised include protection in that great, protection from death, provision for our daily needs. He can provide us with our needs. And protection from death. When somebody died when they're 18, 19, 20, it's because it's his will to have that person, because had that person lived longer, that person would have missed some, he would have witnessed some bad stuff. And God keeping that child or that man, that woman, from going through that. Provisions, another reason for the fear of the Lord is provision for our daily needs, for a long life. Those who fear the Lord knows that it shall be well with them and fear God. You wonder why some people are living so long and these kinds of things, you know. And I had three strangers that walk up at me who I didn't know. When I'm in the grocery store, I would go to get a physical exam. The person had me sitting next to me. So I said, sir, I don't know you, but I got something I need to tell you. And I supposed to say, he said, well, I'm a Christian, first of all, so I want you to know where I'm coming from. I'm not a preacher or anything like that. One of them is a preacher. One might be a deacon. But some of them just regular people say, so what's your name? I said, John. And Mr. John, you know what I've been told? Hey, you've been told what? By whom? Well, the Lord spoke to me, sir. I'm a pastor of the church, or I'm a deacon at the church. I just love the Lord. He said, you're going to live till you're 97 years old. And I look at him and go, I'm going to live how long? I said, I'm only 50 right now. And then when he was 60, I said, I'm only 60. You're going to, that's how long I'm going to live. He said, you're going to live till you're 97 years old. And when I, in each grade that I went, like I'm, I turned 81, you know, I had a stranger walk up to me and tell me, Mr., I know you don't know me, but the Lord says it's not true with you, that you're going to live till you're 97. I couldn't believe it. But when the first guy told me that, I said, now I got to remember what everybody say. Don't you go and do what somebody say. The Lord told me to tell you. You need a confirmation, at least three confirmations. And I remember that, you know, because some people quit their job and say, you ought to quit your job, child. You they ain't paying you enough. You ought to get you another job doing this or doing that. And then a person quit the job and can find out, you know, because they just acted on some person who's trying to, I guess, sound like he's Jesus or something. I don't know. But I stopped and I went home and I says, I've been told the day at the grocery store in the line, and this lady touched me and said, sir, are you a pastor or anything like that? I said, I was. I'm not a pastor anymore. I'm retired. You know, I'm a retired chaplain. He said, well, I hope you don't think I'm crazy, but I can say what the Lord's going to say. And I said, what the Lord have you to say to me, ma'am? He says, you're going to live till you're 97 years old, almost seen. And then I could be going to a football game in the line, and the guy standing there could go see my grandson, you know. And some man said, sir, he'd be like, boom, touchdown, touchdown. The guy who's behind me screaming, ha. Then he touched me. I said, yes, can I help you? He said, sir, my name is so-and-so, and I'm a deacon at my church, so-and-so. But you know what? The Lord said something about you. And I go, oh, God. That's what the Lord said. He says, you're going to live till you're 97 years old. And I had that. I asked for 3 confirmations. I've gotten 7. 7 is my number, my favorite number. But strangers come up behind me and say, sir, you're going to live to you're 97 years old. You know, and I just turned, what, 81? Turned 81. I got 16, 17 more years ago. And I know why, because look what he got me doing. I never thought that, first of all, I'd be assisting Brother Emmett and got me helping, assisting, everything else. And then when he got into his primary ministry was being in deliverance ministry. And I go, man, I don't want no part of that, man. These are crazy. You know, and I just watched him and kept on. I said, this is interesting. So he said, hey, man, the Lord wants you to count. But what the Lord did, he counted and got my daughter into it. My daughter been with him for 16, 17 years now, and she got numerous years of experience casting out demons, the whole nine yards. She know that demon literature inside out. She know the names of most of the majority of those demons. She is heavyweight in that stuff. And you know what? She's so powerful in it that whenever Brother Emmett is doing a deliverance and then invite her or whatever, and then when they go to cast out the demon and everything else, he gets in the car, he gets out the car and go and help her out. And then he goes in there and starts talking to the demon. And then my daughter come out of the other room from the father whose daughter is being demonized. And when she step in the room, the demon go, uh-oh, it's Gun Gangster. Those demons call my daughter Gun Gangster. They know her. And whenever he's casting a demon, especially if it's a woman, because he never go in a room alone with a woman. That's against his belief. He always have a woman with him. And every time he don't take it everywhere, because it might be just a man he's doing deliverance. But when a woman is involved, he always have a woman to go with him. And primarily it's my daughter. And then when she walk in the door, you can hear the demon going, uh-oh, here come Gun Gangster. That's Gun Gangster. And they say, you don't have to tell us to go. They go. I can't believe it, man. It's kind of annoying that my daughter has. And back on Reason for the Fear of the Lord, God has promised to bless and honor all those who fear him. Remember that. Humility and the fear of the Lord are riches. Listen at that again. Humility and fear of the Lord provides us riches and honor and long life. Other blessings promised include what? Protection from death, provision for our daily needs, and a long life. Those who fear the Lord know that it shall be well with them that fear God. God is regardless of what happens to the world around us, of them. God got us protected. And he got me protected because here I'm 81 and I don't have nothing wrong with me. I still run, I play football with my son and my grandson. Running off a pass and everything else. I never had any medication. Never had any surgery. No, nothing. Every time I go, they say, here come that man again. And every 1st of January or the 2nd or 3rd or some day in January, I go, they say, here he come. And one thought he had challenged me. He gave the nurse, say, sir, you want to come up? And walk up to the window. And then what happened? She says, tell us out, please. And the doctor laughed. You know, it had about 45 questions on the exam. Have you ever had this? Have you had that? Have you had those? Have you had them? And when I got through passing up, say, sir, you didn't answer the thing correctly. And I go, excuse me. She's talking to Mike. Everybody, all 40, 50 people in that waiting room can hear the conversation. You misunderstood the questions. You're supposed to put yes or no, not just no, not applicable. I said, I know what not applicable means. It means no. And I've never been sick a day in my life. You go, what? It's how are you now? Go 70. How are you now? I'm 75. How are you? I'm 78. How are you? I'm 80. How are you? I'm 81. That's when he still ain't been sick. You know, so Lord bless. I said, Lord, and then Emmett surprised me. He says, you know what, John? Lord got a plan for you. He ain't through with you yet. I said, I guess so, man. I did 30 years as an employee, hiring people for federal jobs, and 20 years as a chaplain, you know. You see, so now it's finally come to light. I mean, we all agree and say, God got you to help me, assist me, and stuff like that. He's teaching you to deliverance ministry. You know, stuff like that. But that was a hard thing because it took me all them years to really accept it, because all my life I was told there ain't no such thing as demons, and we have this written word, and I ain't hardly believe nothing. All that, I'd make A's. When all I do is say, if we have this written word, I'll make an A. It was a test, you know. And so finally, God personally had to touch me and say, I call you to your latter years for deliverance ministry. And I go, I receive it, because I didn't know, man. It finally hit me because I've been trying to learn this business for a long time, but I really wasn't into it fully. I didn't want to hurt Brother Emmett. But do you see, you get mad, you cuss the guys out. I said, man, you know, I ain't gonna let nobody talk to me like that. You crazy? See, John, you man, you know, the law got me mad. If it was just me, I'd leave your butt. All that cussing and everything else, Brother John. I said, man, I can't take it. My mama, you know. He said, there you go again with your mama. Yeah, my mama told me don't take back from nobody. And when they say, hey, boy, I see my mama looking at me. Come now, she's in heaven. I see my mama looking at me. But what you going to do now? You going to let him call you a boy? And that was hard. That's the way, because daddy died, drowned when I was 2 years old. So I was brought up by my mother. My mother said, don't take no crap off nobody till you hear what I say, boy. You know, the kind of thing. I said, hey, mama. So I remember what she said. So every time them jokers, hey, boy. And then when they say, I'm going to ball jack you, I had to ask Brother Emmett, what does ball jack mean? That means he's coming there, he's going to take his penis and ram it up your butt and everything. I said, oh, he's looking to die, you know. And they make the mistake, but the devil would tell them what to say. Because every time I said, this is John speaking, hey, boy, or something, I said, oh, Lord. And then I go, F you, man, and so on. And then they, I got you. And then I remember those words. She said, you know, John, when you say something, you curse, whatever, you get, what did they say? What the guy say? He said, I got you. He said, that's not that man, that's that demon. I said, I got you. I sure got a lot to learn. But, man, but it took me almost 15 years the way I am right now because I couldn't accept nobody talking to me down at me, you know, because that's the way mama brought me up. Don't you take no crap from nobody. I don't care who he, she is. It is. And that was hard. So reasons for the fear of the Lord, I said, one, we should fear him because of his authority. Two, we should fear the Lord because the wholeness of God and his separation from the constant opposition to sin and unrighteousness should cause us to fear him. The wholeness of God and his separation from and constant opposition to sin and unrighteousness. God hates sin. That's what we should do. And another reason for the fear of the Lord. The universal judgment of God at the end of history, I said at the end of history, should cause us to what? To fear him who judges all injustice and iniquity. That's going to happen. God made that known to me one day. Say, don't you know, and when I was minding my own business, I heard the Lord say, if you die tonight, you are not into my kingdom. He said that three times. If you die tonight, you are not into my kingdom. That got my attention. And then another reason for the fear of the Lord. God has promised to bless and honor all those who fear him. Not because when you fear him, that means you love him too. See, not that you're going to whip your butt. It's because you don't want to hurt mom or Lord. Hey, man, let's go and rob the store. Let's go do this and that. No. And the first thing comes out, not because he's going to jail. Man, I hurt my mom, man. That hurt my mama. So that's another definition of fear, hurt. God has promised to bless and honor all those who fear him. Humility and the fear of the Lord are what? Riches and honor and life. Those three things for us. Other blessings promised include, listen at this now, other blessings promised include protection from death. And I go, maybe that's why. And that's one of the reasons it kind of hit me. I guess God said, now you see why you're going to live till you are 97. Here I am, 81 now, and I still got, and I'm playing football and basketball with my kids, my grandkids, and all that stuff. And I ain't in the hospital, I ain't had no needle stuck in my arm forever. You know, none of that. Okay. So, other blessings promised include protection from death, provision for our daily needs, and a long life. Those who fear the Lord knows that what? It shall be well with them that fear God, regardless of what happens to the world around them. You find that in Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verses 12 and 13. Then I want to come, I don't know how long I got, but I come to the third part. The first part was the meaning of the fear of the Lord, you know, that he's a God who loves us. And the fear means that we know that he can send us to hell if it's caused. He's protecting us because he loves us. A lot of things don't happen to us because he loves us, the meaning of the fear of the Lord, because you know all things he's done for you. You know, you can say, I bet you that, I should fear the Lord because he ain't no fool. He won't say, Negro, don't you know I died on that cross for you? What's your problem? You ignoring my salvation for you. You ignorant. Now, I remember many times I had to tell that to to guys that the Lord had me says, but you need to stop that out. You need to stop that. Let me come with, oh, Lord, it sounds like Brother Emmy giving me a call. I don't want to go out because I may, no, if I switch over to talk to him, I don't know how to do this. I don't know how to switch out to answer a call. I don't know how to switch out. Seven characteristics, the fear of the Lord and their implication to our lives. I don't know if I'm doing something wrong. Let me try this.
When you thought I called at you, can't nobody hear me. When you thought I called at you, you called me, and that's when you got knocked out the room.
Oh, because
I never called you.
I saw your name. You can't pay no attention.
That don't mean nothing. That's the devil. I'm here doing a deliverance. That's a familiar spirit attacking you.
Well, I didn't know that, man. I'm new. I don't know all that stuff you know.
We're live on the air. We're live on air in the future. You got to pray, man. You can't, you know, call me. Just pray. It's a spirit. I was talking to this dirt, and you saw my name. Just as well, you heard my voice that time. I mean, them are demons. They're trying to stop you from teaching.
Man, I didn't know that, Brother Emma. I still got a lot to learn. I don't know that.
Can I still talk to them? Let me get you back on there, man, because that threw me all off what I was doing. I got to connect all these other people.
Yeah.
Hang on. Yeah. Jesus.
Next time,
just stay off the phone. Don't call back because when I'm busy, I told you before I wasn't going to be in the room. You said in the future, if that happens, just get off the room and don't come back in. Tim Simmons, we had some technical problems. Chaplain John Durden, we got some problems trying to get Backlund for the room. The enemy is attacking him. I was doing a deliverance, and I set everything up for him, and he made a mistake and answered the phone back, which wasn't me, but amen. All right. Brother John, you got the mic for 51 minutes.
Okay.
God bless everybody. Okay. I'm not in the room, and you got it.
Okay, thank you. Good evening again, ladies and gentlemen. What happened? The thing just went dead, and I wonder what happened? Everything. I said, oh, Lord. Don't tell me the thing just disconnected. Sometimes the devil intervened with us because I've seen Brother Emmy go through this hundreds of times when he'd be teaching. And so I guess the devil wanted to shut me up because he didn't want me to know anything about the fear of the Lord. So I'm going to pick up where I left off, okay? I said the three things I was going to discuss tonight with regard to the fear of the Lord was the meaning of the fear of the Lord and then the reasons for the fear of the Lord, and that's where I was going at right now. The reasons for the fear of the Lord, and then the last part is seven characteristics of the fear of the Lord and their implications for our lives. So I'm going, we talked about reasons for the fear of the Lord, and I'm going to give you three reasons for the fear of the Lord. One, in keeping with the meaning of the fear of the Lord are the following reasons for fearing him. One, I said we should fear him because of his authority as the creator of all things and people. Also, the fact that God's awesome, awesome authority and power continue to be exercised over the elements of creation and over the human race. That's the reason why we should fear him, because of that power he has. We should fear him because of his authority as the creator of all things and mankind as well. And another reason for the fear of the Lord is in the holiness of God and his separation from and constant opposition to sin and righteousness should cause us to fear him, because we know how you feel about sin. I mean, as a matter of fact, that's why he died, because he wants mankind to be with him for all eternity. And he sacrificed his son, had his son to pay the price for their sins. And that's something we did. He came down here and died in our place. So it's stupid when you see somebody who goes to church, won't do right, knowing good and well why the Lord did what he did. It's one of the reasons for the fear of the Lord. We need to realize that we should fear him because of love. Like I mentioned earlier, we fear our mama, we fear our papa because we know they love us, all the sacrifice they gave them, so we can become somebody someday, and then we go around and do things wrong. And some people shoplift, some people lie, some people kill somebody out of anger and these kinds of things. And not only you would be punished for it, but then also you'd be separated from God for all eternity. That's the reason for the fear of the Lord, not because he can spank us and beat the you-know-what out of us, because we are separating ourselves, or have separated ourselves, from someone who died for us. Can you imagine you have a son or a daughter die for somebody, but that somebody just keep on that crazy and everything else, and then you say, my son died in vain, with respect to that particular person. Another reason for the fear of the Lord is the holiness of God and his separation from and constant opposition to sin. Unrighteousness should cause us to fear him. Let me say that again. The holiness of God and his separation from and constant opposition to sin and righteousness should cause us to fear him. Another reason why we should fear the Lord. The universal judgment of God at the end of history should cause us to fear him who judges all injustice and iniquity. And that's another reason. Because we know he's going to judge us. And he's the Lord of all. At the end of history, he's going to call us all up to face him. And we have to hear him say, either welcome home thy son or daughter, which I have created for you even before the foundation of the world. Or he's going to say, depart from me, you work of iniquity, I never knew you. And another reason for the fear of the Lord is God has promised to bless and honor all those who fear him. Humility and the fear of the Lord are riches. He wants us to be humble. He wants us to fear him. And what he blessed us, maybe not millions of dollars, but he said the Lord will bless us with riches and honor. And riches and honor in the life could be anything. Okay? Other blessings promised. Dig this. Other blessings for those who fear the Lord. God blessings promised include protection from death, provision for our daily needs, and a long life provision. Like I told you, I had several people who don't even know me walking to me and told me I wasn't going to die until I was 97 years old. And that's something that's 3 years from being 100. And guess what? And being health-wise, too, he's blessing me because I never had any surgery. I'm 81, and I never had to go to the doctor for any sickness or anything like that. Every time I go to the doctor, it's just to get a checkup. Those who fear the Lord knows that it shall be well with them. Well, I realize that now. Here I am, 81, and I still don't have any medical problems. No medical problems, and I'm still enjoying life. And most of all, God got me, using me in a ministry such as this. And it says, we shall be free for those who fear God. And then the latter part, so seven characteristics of the fear of the Lord and their implication for our lives. Let me say that again. Seven characteristics of the fear of the Lord and their implication for our lives. One, the fear of the Lord enables us to what? Obey God. Yeah, you better believe it, because some of us fear him for different reasons. Some fear him because he loves you too much and don't want to hurt him. Some fear him because they don't want him to say go to hell. Okay? Even in the most difficult times, as in Abraham, remember Abraham's test when he was asked to offer his only son? Remember that? Well, he took the thing. He stepped out in faith. And then he got blessed as a result of it. The Lord told him to kill his son. Well, God had his son Jesus to be killed. And look, Jesus went through it. And you can see how he blessed all of us. Another characteristic of the fear of the Lord. Seven characteristics of the fear of the Lord and their implication to our lives. Number two, the fear of the Lord, what? Moves us to say no to sin and depart from evil. And you know, Moses went through that many times. The fear of the Lord manifests itself in a wholesome dread of God's holy displeasure and wrath. And you know, you see what he did with all those other folks in the mother cities and other countries and everything else. My God, that was terrible. The fear of the Lord manifests itself in a wholesome dread of God's holy displeasure and wrath. An important inference is that believers should teach their children to fear the Lord by training them to hate sin and to love God's righteousness. And, you know, we all should try that. And we, the wife and I, have done that. You know, we have Bible studies in the morning, teach them the Beatitudes, we teach them the Ten Commandments and all these other kinds of things. And so when they got out on their own, they knew that Bible inside out, because every morning we took about 15 minutes before they went to school. You know, then when they left home, then they continue on their own. So, and they know that Bible inside out, bless them. And they both love the Lord. My daughter assists Brother Emmett in his ministry. And my son, he does the computer ministry and stuff like that at his church for the pastor, for church services and stuff like that. So another characteristic of the fear of the Lord is it manifests itself in a wholesome dread of God's holy displeasure. Holy displeasure. You don't want that to happen to you. Okay, here's another one I love. The fear of the Lord provides the necessary perspective for God's people to what? To reference and honor him and worship him with their whole being. If we truly fear God, you know what? We will glorify him as Lord. And I remember David. David equates worshiping congregation with them that fear him. And at the end of history, guess what? A heavenly angel who proclaims eternal gospel calls to all on earth, fear God and give glory to him. Worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountain of water. This is in Revelation 4, chapter 14. Now, when the Lord brought that to my attention, I go, wow, I missed that all that time. Listen at this again. The fear of God, Lord, we should fear him, give glory to him, and worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea as well and the fountains of waters. He created all those things for us. Another reason, another characteristic of the fear of the Lord and their implications for our lives. The fear of the Lord has a sanctifying effect on God's people. Just as there is a sanctifying effect, the truth of God's word. So there is a sanctifying effect in the fear of God. And you know what else? It causes us to discipline and restrain our tongues, kind of watch what we say so that we are careful about what we say and how we speak. He's concerned about that, what the Bible said, that we're going to give an account for every word we spoke. Can you imagine that? You live to be 40, 59 years old, and the Lord can give you an account. You have to give an account for everything we said, positive or negative. That's a lot of keeping up. And there's a lot of people to keep up with. Can you imagine? The Lord got his organization is going. I have to be serious. I never thought of that. Can you imagine? Everybody will have to give an account. So that means he got people, not people, but angels, keeping records and everything else. It must be almost like we have a personal angel assigned to each one of us. I don't know, but God don't need that, really. Another characteristic, the fear of the Lord causes us to serve God with a sober, single-mindedness that will enable us by faith to enter into God's promises. And finally, with respect to the characteristics, our characteristic we have those who fear the Lord is the fear of the Lord is accompanied by assurance and unspeakable spiritual comfort for God's people. The New Testament directly links the fear of the Lord with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. Let me repeat that. The New Testament directly links the fear of the Lord with the encouragement of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And on one hand, those who live without fearing the Lord, those who live without fearing the Lord will miss out on the promise of his favor, protection. On the other hand, those who fear God and obey him from the heart experience spiritual security in their lives. I love that. Security in their lives and the enabling grace and power of the Holy Spirit. That is wonderful Those who fear God and obey him, heart and soul and spirit, experience spiritual security in their lives. Hear that? Spiritual security in their lives. And the enabling grace and power of the Holy Spirit. And we can be sure, based on what was said earlier, we can be sure that God will what? Deliver our soul from death, horrible death. And the person who fears God need not fear anything else. But the person who does not fear God is vulnerable to fearing everything else. We're vulnerable to fearing everything else. Everything. God has a plan for our life. God loves us, and we're living as long as we're living right now because he's not through with each one of us. We all still have a purpose. So don't be crazy or stupid. Love the Lord. And those of you who are doing what you shouldn't be doing, please cut that out. I ask in the name of Jesus, because he can't hide from me. He know it. And now you know from the fear of the Lord is that you don't fear him because you're continuing, those of you who continue doing what you're doing, especially those abominable things, that suggests that you don't fear the Lord, you don't fear nothing up in heaven, that you the man or you the woman. But you're going to have to give an account for it. You're going to have to give an account for it. And I've seen many people in my 20 years in the hospital come to crying, want to know why that happened to them, what happened to them, and these kinds of things. And when they share their lifestyle with me, I say, I can see why now. God has had enough of it, you know. But I don't say that. It's too late to say that to them now because they done lost a leg or whatever. Dying of AIDS, these kinds of things. The wife and family left him. I experienced those who don't fear the Lord. For the past 6, 7, 8 years, guess what? Folks who didn't fear the Lord, who were doing some things that they had no business doing, they lost their wife and they lost their children. I had family members to call me personally and ask me to, and gave me the number of their husband and told them to call them and say, don't come home. She don't have no place here no more. And that she's having somebody deliver the Winnebago up to his job site so he can have it. She said she don't want it because there wasn't no excuse for him to come back. I had over 20-some wives and children told their husband they don't want to have anything to do with them anymore because it was insulting. See, they didn't know by not paying those queers all that money and everything, those queers turned on them. And how all of them got caught was they all were telling on them by way of secretly putting a video camera in the room, in their room. And so when the man, whoever he is, deacon, preacher, counselor, whatever he is doing things with this he-she type guy, is being videoed. And then when they leave, they threaten to say, I need $500, something off, so many dollars. And they have to give up because they fear the threat of them doing will be revealed to their child or to their mom or to their daddy or their wife. Only husband. That's pitiful. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord. Yeah, if you ask me, what's my fear? I would say that my fear of the Lord is two things. One is hurting him because he took on flesh and came down here. And they lash him with that whip 39 times. Man, this is horrible if you've seen the film. I mean, all those 39 lashes. That. And what they did to him when they lay him down on the ground there on top of that cross. And they banged those rusty big old nails through his hand. Well, through his wrist, really. Because that bone in the hand there kept it from splitting his hand. Completely. He did that for us. All those lashes, 39 lashes, and all his both hands and his feet was bruised with those screws. All for us. And then he said, when those guys beat the daylights out of him, then he said, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Yep, we sure didn't know. We thought we was having fun and these kinds of things. Having fun, you want to give that up. So I want to sum it up this way. I'll just touch one thing about each division. One, I said, remember the meeting of the fear of the Lord. And I want to say that the fear of the Lord requires what? The meeting I'm talking about, a knowledge of the Holy One, the Holy Spirit, that regards him with holy awe and reverence and honors God as God because of his what? Great glory, his holiness, and his majesty, and his power. That's why we need to honor the meaning of the fear of the Lord. We should fear him because of all that power we have, who he is, the Son of God, who he is, the creator of the universe and everything else. That's why we should fear him. I mean, you can't, he's not stupid. He created all these things. And you're going to pay for what you've done. We will pay for what we've done. So that's one of the reasons you should fear the Lord. Because he can bring him on you. He really can. And then you got your children can be cursed with what you're doing. Then you're raising a family where they have curses. Because the Bible said your family would even be cursed so many generations. If you do this, your curse will come upon your children. Some say 4 generations, some say 8 generations, these kinds of things. And you'd be wondering why your child's always sick all the time, or why this is happening to your family. I mean, some of all the terrible things. He just brought it. You might have a curse on you, a curse on you and your family. This meaning of the fear of the Lord to reflect our love for him. That's what it means. We're supposed to show that we love him, and we especially appreciate his death on the cross for our sins. The fear of the Lord. Thus, it'll get us into heaven, because I don't think anybody going to do things we don't fear the Lord. He loves us, y'all. He loves us with all his heart. The meaning of the fear of the Lord, 2 things. One is we shouldn't hurt him. He shed his blood for us up on Calvary. He went through all that pain, 40 lashes. And then on top of that, another reason for the fear of the Lord, I said, because he is the judge. The Lord judge. He's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and whatever else, the judge of judge. And we gonna have to go stand before him one day. And he's gonna either say to you and me, depart from this, depart from me, you worship iniquity, I never knew you. And the last thing he wanna hear, I'm sorry. And nothing in the Bible telling us to say, I'm sorry. He loves us. We should fear him for 2 reasons, because we love him, we don't want to hurt him. Because we get the worst beating we ever had in our whole life. That's eternal death. Your spirit will be alive forever, but you'll be in hell forever, walking around hell all over and over and over, never ends. Those are the 2 primary reasons. We should fear him because what he did, went through, was because he loved us. And then another one is because we have some stuff waiting on us that you don't even want to discuss. And that's the God's truth. That's the God's truth. Amen and amen, amen. Father, I pray that you would anoint the listeners tonight, give them revelation, knowledge, and wisdom and understanding what's been said. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will power them also, to teach your word with clarity and simplicity and boldness. Pray that our spirit will be alert and clear and our hearts become receptive. And I pray that the spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit, will move in such power that every stronghold of unbelief or discord or vain thoughts be pulled down and brought into captivity to the glory of your Son. And I pray that your words bring salvation, healing, and deliverance to all here this evening or tonight on this present day. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Thank you and God bless you, and looking forward to hearing from you again. And Brother Emmett, is involved with a heavy, 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 I mean, he's dealing right now, he's doing a deliverance with several people. I mean, people who actually possess with demons, the ground, you can hear the demons talking and everything else. And that's where he and my daughter is at some person house. I don't know who it is, but I think they made several visits to different places, not just one, but maybe three, four, five deliverance they're doing this evening. But anyway, I just want to say God bless you all. I know you got other things to do, and love you all in the Lord. And I'm sorry we had this interruption. I was talking. I finally got hooked up with Brother Emmett again in the midst of those problems we have. He said those were demonic influence. They were trying to cut me off. They didn't want y'all to hear what I had to say. And that's what they do. They, many times they've done it to him. He's a pro at it. I didn't know what happened to me. I thought I just had failure. And I thought it was just plain old computer failure or technical failure. But it was, and he told me it was the demonic influence. It was demonic influence. So I'm sorry we had to go through that, but he said, I ain't going to be the first time having John. There'll be a whole lot of influences and disruptions because they don't want us to teach and preach the word of God. So that's really frustrating. I'll be preparing and teaching my little heart out and talking and studying and trying to remember a lot of that stuff and everything else. Then get up there to do it. And then the devil be going, and boom, before you know it, this thing is cut off. And we can be, many times he said, John, I've been in this business for 17 years. He can be talking for a whole half hour and don't even know until the Lord jump in and say, nobody hear you, and tell him what he need to do to get it back up and running. So that was the first time that happened to me. That thing, phone just went cling. I said, what did I do? And I was mad at myself. So what in the world did I do? And I thought I stuck my finger in the wrong place. I actually pressed the button or something like that accidentally. But it wasn't me at all. Brother Emmett had a sense. You know, he's a man with the experience. He said, John, it wasn't you. It wasn't the demons was tasked to cut you out because they didn't want you. They didn't want to hear that. So that's demonic. That was demonic. So that's something you got to get used to, because it's very frustrating when you program going and all of a sudden, boom. And that happened to him numerous times. It was, since 17 years, he got bombarded like that several times, sometime at night kind of a thing. Sometimes get ready to lead somebody to the Lord, the thing go off. And sometimes going to teach something that's very relevant that they need to hear. It's, that spirit is called Bossy Bouncy. That's the name of that spirit that deal with the technical stuff. It's Bossy Bouncy, who like to interrupt communications. Okay, I'm going to say good night, and God bless each one of you. Love you in the Lord. Good night, and God bless.